Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Thank the Lord for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us. If you'd like to look with us this morning, I'd like to look over into Acts, the 19th chapter. Acts, the 19th chapter. And I'd like to read part of this chapter, starting with the first verse there. And I'd sort of like to think you can be thinking about this while we're reading. As I was thinking about this just the other day, I thought, we've been exposed to a lot of the Word of God and a lot of good things. Brother Harold Dean was here for a number of days, and he gave us so much that I can remember a little here and there, and I wrote a few notes down, and I look back and I remember some things there. And I bought a stack of books that maybe I'll get one or two of them read every once in a while and work on some of the others. But the question I'd like to just think about this morning is, as a result of the truth that each one of us received during that period of time, how have we responded to it, and what are some decisions maybe we made in our own minds, as whether it's changes one way or the other, and are we carrying out those good intentions? This scripture really brings out one body does one thing and one group does another thing, and there's some real results as a result, one way or the other. Let's just notice here, they first had a special time together, and God came down upon them in chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said John, verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And I think I'm going to stop right there before we go ahead, and I'd like for us to bow our heads for prayer, and then we'll proceed there in verse 8. Father, we thank thee this morning for thy wonderful help and blessings to each one of us. We're thankful for a nice warm place that we can worship the Lord in. We look out at the cold and the stormy elements. We thank thee for thy many, many mercies and blessings upon us every day. And we just pray that thou will help us, that we might not take these things as just commonplace, but Lord, help us to realize that all these good things come from heaven above. Help us, Lord, that we might every day be in contact with thee. Open the word to our hearts, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Maybe before we read the 8th verse, I'd just like to mention that here, another place where God's people got together. And this is sort of the transition place between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And where under the Old Covenant, the saints of God were redeemed and lived. But you'll notice a lot of times it was the people of Israel, a certain nation. And now the kingdom of God is being set up in the hearts of every single individual. And from the day of Pentecost, for about three or four places here, the Spirit of God was poured out upon the Old Testament saints. And they received His Spirit into their hearts, which is the privilege of every born-again Christian under the New Testament dispensation. The kingdom of God is set up in our hearts. In the Old Testament, He was with them in their nation. We don't just have one nation that we say, okay, the United States is the nation of God, like Israel were the people of God. But now every man can have God's kingdom set up in his heart. And every Christian has the Spirit of God within his heart. And so at this transition period, the Spirit of God was poured out upon different groups of people in a whole group. It just wasn't one person. And the kingdom of God was just ushered in. Now notice when he says here in verse 8, "And he went unto the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." Verse 9 is sort of a rough response to, he was there for 3 months talking to the people, reasoning with them, trying to show them the way. And verse 9 says, "And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." And I think we need to realize that depending on what we do, when God comes and He begins to speak to us and He begins to deal with us, and through His Word, He shows us new light, and we grow and mature spiritually, depending on what we do with it, there's going to be really different results. These people, their hearts were hardened, and they believed not. It brings back to that, to my mind, that scripture that says the one that, where is, his the one that is often reproved, and how that if he hardens his neck, that he's going to be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. That has really hit me several times, that thinking, I don't want to become calloused. I don't want to become to the place where God can speak to me and reprove me or deal with me, and I ignore His reproof. But I want to listen. I want to be sensitive. I want to be tender. I want a tender heart. I want to keep it tender. I don't want to just go on. When somebody says something and it sort of strikes home right down here, I don't want to just ignore that, because God speaks through His people and through His Word and through prayer in many different ways. But these people, their hearts were hardened and they believed not. And you notice it, it says here, God's messenger departed from them. And then he was disputing in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the words of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. That's one thing that you'll notice, there were different sign gifts back there that confirmed the word of God, that confirmed the church being brought into that this is of God. And one of these at this point, it says, "So that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them." Now, wherever there's real, the devil is going to do his best to imitate it. And he's going to do his best to fool you. And wherever there's real fire, the enemy's going to come along and try to bring wildfire. He likes to try to imitate. He comes like an angel of light. And you'll notice exactly what happened here in verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call upon them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." Now these were exorcists. This morning I thought I knew what an exorcist is. I asked my wife what it was, and she thought she knew too. But what's sort of funny is that I have found out, if I want to find out something real quick, if I want to even find out what a song or the words of a song, I can go real fast to Google and type in the words and get it. And she said, "Well, that thing's just going to be like your mind. Anything you want to need to know, you can just look on that thing." Well, I typed in exorcist, and it said someone that is supposed to cast out evil spirits or devils or something. And, you know, it's not the right way. So here these characters were. These were vagabond Jews. And they were trying to take things upon themselves it wasn't for them to do. Now they've seen that the evil spirits were cast out by God's messenger through the name of Jesus. So they think, well, now they're going to do it. They're going to try to get in on this. And exactly what they did. They said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" You know, it's a serious thing to play around with spiritual things. I mean, it's no plaything. It's a wonderful thing that we have, that God comes into our hearts and shed his love abroad in our hearts and abides there. And this is his kingdom is set up in our heart. It's not a plaything. It's something, it's a pearl of great price. And I tell you, if we play fast and loose with our immortal souls in a service like this, there ought to be tremendous reverence from every one of us. We're here to worship God. You know, we can worship God. We can sing the wonderful hymns of Zion, and they can really mean something to us. Or we can just sit there and set the wrong example for our children. Or we can allow them. When we were old enough to sing, my parents told us, "Now, each one of you get you a book." And when we started being able to where we could read, we could read the songs, we sang. Maybe we couldn't carry a tune very much yet, but we did our very best. And I still love to hear the children behind me, a high-pitched voice singing out. It just does something for me. It's just like new energy. Someone that is, the voice is singing praises to God. Well, we have these ones that thought they would do it in their self and that they could really pull something. And even this evil spirit said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Why do we have to have some calamity take place to get our attention, to shock us out of our coldness, so that we realize that God is alive, that the Spirit of God dwells still yet within the hearts of men, that we don't have to just be a part of a big machine that is not plugged into the current, but that we can be a part of him, of the kingdom of God, that God's presence flows through. And I really like what he says here. Then, you know, the first thing that came that brought what should be, what was real, was the fear of God. And if we don't have the fear of God, we don't have anything. That's where we start. We have the fear of God. You might say the Sinai thunderings begin. and bring us to the place where we come to Calvary, Mount Calvary. And at that place, then we're relieved of that horrible fear of hell, because we're ready, but we still have the tremendous fear and reverence for God. This is not a plaything. We're not playing church. We're doing this every day, keeping close to the Lord, keeping the little things out of the way. One person mentioned to me, as a result of the meetings, he told me, he said, "You know, I think I got some CDs I need to get rid of." I remember doing the same thing. I remember some old-fashioned revivals coming along, some old-fashioned preachers that preached the truth, and they meant what they said, and they preached it, and it was the truth. And I got to thinking, well, you know, I had some question marks about some things. But don't do like I did. I took some CDs, and I was going to get rid of them. You ever try to break a CD? I don't know if they're still made out of the same stuff. But they're tremendously hard to break, and when they do break, they can really cut you. But I think the best thing to do is just what they did here. He said, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also brought, also which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and they found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." I like to see people stripping for the race, getting rid of the weights, getting rid of the besetting sins, and going all the way. I still remember an old preacher that used to be our pastor when I was just a boy. And when he got right with the Lord, he was a good electrician and good in electronics, and he had a store with all kinds of electronic gadgets, including televisions and all kinds of things. And he told a fellow that was helping him there, said, "You know," he said, "I want you to go around there and you get that dump truck and you back it up here, and we're going to pitch these televisions on the dump truck. And then," he said, "I want you to take it down to the dump and dump it off there. I'm done with them. All the things that come across there, we're done with them. I'm getting rid of them." And the fellow said, "Oh, but master," he said, "I sure would like to have one of those." He said, "Couldn't I just have one of them?" And he said, "Nope, we're getting rid of all of them." And I don't know, but I know that they took some of them and took a shotgun and set them up. And back there, televisions weren't like the flat screens that they have today. There was a tube-like deal. And when you hit him, it was like a bomb going off, just boom. Well, that'd almost be fun, wouldn't it, with something that was no count. Get rid of it. Nobody would have any temptation to try to use it again. It's gone. And the fellow that was working with him, they pitched those TVs on there, all of them, every one of them. You can say, but, you know, there's $500, there's $500, there's $1,000. I don't know what they cost. And he added all up, there's thousands of dollars. Maybe I could put something on Craigslist, get rid of them that way. No, he didn't want anyone else to be spoiled by him. He wanted them out of the way, done for good and gone. And it's exactly what he did. He was going all the way through with the Lord. He wasn't worrying about 50,000 pieces of silver like these people here. They brought their stuff, all their curious arts, and put them on a big fire, had a bonfire, and they come out of there with a clear conscience. Didn't have to worry about anybody else, their children, or anybody else getting those books that had led them the wrong way. They had a bonfire. They got rid of them. And they didn't have to have that thing waiting on their mind. So many people, they go so far with the Lord, and they get up to a certain point and, "Oh, but Lord, you know how much that's going to cost me and what people's going to think about me." And, oh, it's so wonderful when you come to the place, you say, "Lord, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm done with that nonsense. I'm going all the way through with thee. I want to make heaven my home." And I believe that's exactly what these people did. They didn't allow the truth to harden their hearts like the first group did, because they didn't believe. But they got rid of what was wrong, and they magnified the name of Jesus. And you know, with all of our singing, all of our songs, if they only magnify God and they are worshipful, we can worship God, and it's not lifting up anyone. It's not a talent show. It's like Brother Haroldine said, what was it as far as music? He said, muse means to think, and amuse means to not think. And so many people, they don't want to think. They just, we wouldn't do this, though, I'm sure. But they turn the radio on, just let it run all day long. Or turn the TV on, let it run all day long. Just to entertain them, something going. Noise. But the Word of God is precious. And those songs are precious. The other day, went over to Jamco. We're going to have a minister's meeting. And I walked in there. And it was beautiful. They had on their speaker system, and I'm not sure exactly what song it was, something about the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. I can't remember the song. But it just filled that whole building. I could have just sat down there and just absorbed it. The singers were singing it beautifully talented, but that wasn't the part that was good. The good part was they were just singing it, seemed like, all for the glory of God. God was being magnified. And I still would like to know what group that was or what CD that was on. I'd like to get something like that. And I thought some of those men that were working out there, I wonder how it's affecting them. I'm just curious. They can't be here without being affected some way by the Word of God. It's going out. The truth is going out. Oh, I hope that each one of us have the truth down in here, but that we don't keep it down here, that we let it go out in the right way so that God is magnified and we're hid in the background, and then we can have something that will be worth giving to a world that is needy. Let's kneel in prayer.